They just recessed last night, so
Committee on Environment and Natural Resources will come to order. First bill on the agenda is Senate File 2976. Senator Metzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. This legislation deals with inflow and infiltration, Senate File 2976. What's happening now is that clear waters make their way into the sanitary sewer pipes in a number of cities, and I think you have metropolitan cities, and hopefully in your packet you have a list of all of these communities that this is happening in. This is unnecessary. This stormwater and runoff water should not be treated in our sanitary systems throughout the cities.
Where should it be treated?
It should not be treated. It's clear, clean water, and it should not have to go through the sanitary system.
Stormwater is clear and clean?
By and large. And rainwater.
Proceed.
This is the separation took place in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and South St. Paul and other cities years ago. For the same reason we're here today, Senator Chaudhry. This is unnecessary to do that. I mean, if you treated every ounce of rain that fell off the roof systems, I would believe. So we're asking for $2 million from the Clean Water Fund to the Met Council to correct these problems out there and help pay for these local fixes. If we don't do it this way, and if we did a total rebuild, it would cost hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. So we're here today to look for $2 million from this fund to take care of these problems. And there's probably 50 or 60 problems in the metro area. I, for one, think that this is a real worthy expenditure of some of these funds. So with me, I have a couple of witnesses from the Met Council.
Jason.
Willett, that was close. I'll go through this presentation briefly. I know
you left some money in there, but we were trying to keep it in reserve in case the sales tax went down. Try to keep it 10, and it's actually down only 7% now.
Okay, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Jason Willett. I'm Finance Director for MCES. That's the Environmental Services Division of the Metropolitan Council. We're the largest wastewater utility in the state, and I'm sure sewer more than 50% of the households that are sewered in the state. We have seven wastewater treatment plants, and we also have hundreds of miles of big pipes that go between the metropolitan cities, so that we do some conveyance too. 105 cities are directly connected to our system. Also, the more rural areas where there are septic tanks, when they're pumped, they come to us in trucks. So we actually are serving the entire seven-county area. You have an illustration of what we call inflow and infiltration. Just so you can see, really, the problem we're trying to address here is primarily really the service line. That's the little pipe that goes from the house to the street where it connects with the city's service. Oftentimes, those pipes are cracked or broken, and clear water can get into that. There also are still some connections of rain leaders off roofs. There are sump pumps are problems in some suburban areas, foundation drains that are directly connecting rainwater into the sanitary sewer, and that is a waste of resources, and it's a waste of water. I also want to mention, just in terms of water quality, especially where the pipe is above the groundwater table, there's a possibility in those broken pipes of outflow of sewage into the ground that can pollute the water as well. So no one actually meters the the water from individual homes, so we can't really tell you how much that is. But certainly there are a lot of issues. We've had some of our communities say as many as 50% of their homes have problems. Some say, you know, they have 90% compliance when they do inspections. So it's everywhere in between that, I'm sure. So why is the legislation needed? First of all, the water that we are flushing, the clear water down the sewer, should be put in backyards and infiltrating into the groundwater and saving that water for Minnesota instead of just going down the Mississippi. Secondly, when we get a surge of inflow after a rain event, we have a substantial risk of overflows into lakes and backups into people's houses. And unfortunately, we really did have a couple of spills into Bald Eagle Lake of raw sewage that was at least in part largely caused by I&I into the sewer system. So that is a risk, too. It is one of the biggest challenges facing the metropolitan sewer district. And our city customers have been asking us for help. I want to address the question of eligibility for use of the Clean Water Fund then, too.
Mr. Shetton, could you just I apologize. Our committee met until after 10 p.m. last night. We're meeting at 9, so I'm a little slow this morning. And so I need to understand your page 3 a little bit better about what's actually going on. Mr. Willett?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank
you. I have Shetland on here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sorry.
Jason Willett. This is Judge Shetland behind me. This is our attempt. Remember, I'm a finance director. An attempt to sort of illustrate how I&I gets into the system. You can see the rain leader, the little blue pipe that's coming down from the house. In some cases, that is still connected into the sewer line. The foundation drain along the outside of the house, they're trying to drain that water so it doesn't, you know, get into the cement and press into the basement. Then you see, and this is the biggest problem, the house lateral there that's broken. That's what I'm saying has the chance not only for inflow, which we see, but actual outflow. So all these are issues for the private property owner. Oftentimes, they don't even know they own that pipe, which is unfortunate because the bill can be like $5,000. In some cases in Golden Valley, we saw $10,000 because the city pipes under the street are deep and they have to excavate the whole thing in order to fix it. So it's a substantial problem. Then you see on the lower right, the bigger pipes, those would be the city pipes. And this bill is not trying to address public infrastructure. We're just looking to try and find a way, a grant and assistance to help private properties fix those kinds of things.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, did that help?
Yeah, a bit. So why do we have this system in the first place? Why was this done in the first place? Is this we were just not knowledgeable enough, or
Mr. Chair,
the capacity has just gotten as such that it's a problem now?
Some of these, Mr. Chairman, date back to the 20s and 30s. They're very old, old systems. And the effect, if you could look at the names of the cities, our first-ring suburbs, that these systems were built in the 30s and post-World War II houses, and they're just at that stage where they're seepage and they just need repair. And oftentimes, like Mr. Willett said, it's $8,000 to $9,000 to $10,000 per home. And quite frankly, 40% of these folks are senior citizens in these communities that this adds a little help, but
so
it's
then,
because of deteriorated systems.
Before, I'm just trying to understand how we got to this point where there was a thinking at some point when these older homes were being built that the stormwater, the drains, the gray water drains, should go into the sanitary sewer.
Mr.
Pipes.
Chair, that's correct. Up
and
until
then what has happened now is that the treatment systems are becoming overridden with capacity.
Mr. Chair, the standard practice up in through the 60s, I believe, was to connect all of these sources into the sanitary sewer, and after that, the decision was made to separate the systems.
Okay.
So we, since then, have not been planning for this kind of capacity. That's the
so then,
things on the
so
house.
So then at some point we said, okay, we're going to have a separate storm sewer system.
That's correct.
But that only applied to homes built after that. And the older homes before we put in the storm sewers were still connected to the sanitary sewer.
That's correct, Mr. Chair. I do want to point out, though, the largest problem is the broken or deteriorated house lateral, which was nobody's plan. It's just a lot of them were clay pipes built in the 60s, and they've deteriorated.
And then, and so you want some money to go in and fix these, or what do you want the... Do you want some money to go and reroute these to the storm sewers?
Mr. Chair, our plan would be to pass through any money that you would give us to the cities and perhaps ask them to match it so that the pipes could be fixed and the connections could be disconnected. The water would go into the backyard and infiltrate into the ground.
Then what would happen with the foundation issues?
They would be disconnected, and the water where it can will just seep into the ground in the backyard or wherever. We're mostly talking about homes here.
Okay.
If I may.
Thanks for that explanation.
You're welcome.
See, in the past, Senator, before the separation, there'd be many times where there'd be the capacity would be so great to the plant that the runoff from my first house pipes would go with the over directly in the river. Gave me this, so you'd have sewage going directly into the storms and major flooding. So that's why the separation did this. And now this adds to that system where the
What percentage of the homes are we talking here that are still connected to the sanitary sewer?
What percent was your question?
We
don't really know. We have had some cities do inspection programs. One of them told us that about 50% of their homes were out of compliance, and one said 90% were in, 10% were out. There hasn't really been a comprehensive review of that.
So, Mr. Chairman, members, a couple of years ago found or awarded a couple million dollars from an unexpended source, and the money ran out just as fast as could be. I mean, the problem is so great out there that the demand, and so there's people on the waiting list all over that couldn't take advantage of some of the money they found a couple of years ago.
Okay.
I do have a slide on that.
That's fine. And go ahead, but at some point I want to talk about this assertion that stormwater is clean as well.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. To slide 5, we were asked to sort of address the eligibility under the current language in the statute for use of the Clean Water Fund. So most of these words are taken verbatim out of that language. And I've underlined the word protect here just to show you we're protecting the water from being contaminated by sewage. We're protecting the water source, the cleaner water. Most of this is just, rainwater that can go into the ground. So we do believe that it fits. The second question is this sort of question of whether this would supplant a traditional funding source. And I do want to say there has been no traditional public money of any sort for private II fixes. We did have this one-time grant program that Senator Metzen talked about, and I'll get to that in a minute to talk some more about that.
Mr. Willett, it doesn't say public sources. It just says traditional sources. So what's the traditional source?
The only traditional source, I guess you could say that the private homeowners would pay for it themselves when they have fixed it, and they often don't.
All right. Do you recall the cost of a typical fix?
Mr. Chair, I do have that as well on a coming slide.
Okay, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
That's all right. I did want to say, again, as Senator Metzen has mentioned, we have a comprehensive program to try and eliminate INI from the sanitary sewer system. We think this will save hundreds of millions of dollars. We would have to build capacity. We sometimes get surges under rain events 5, 6, 7 times a dry weather flow. So we would have to build really big pipes and holding tanks at the plant that are unnecessary and wasteful. So that might cause us to increase the rates on all the cities up to 30%. So this is just a small piece of it. We are requiring the cities to spend a lot of money, as Senator mentioned. I also have a slide of the communities where we've had measured excessive II. We plan for a small amount, but we do measure the flow and the peaks at city borders. So you can see a list. There's almost 50 communities here that in the last 5 years or so have had excessive II. And frankly, we require now that all cities have a plan to mitigate II through the comprehensive planning process. They have to have elements of that. So now I'm trying to address your specific question about our little program that we had. It was actually about $800,000 rather than $2 million, but it leveraged about $2.7 million of money. Some of the cities matched it a little. The private parties had to put up a lot of the money. Maximum grant they could get from us was $200,000. That was a one-time $2,000. Yeah. Thank you. That was a money that we had returned from a different grant program, so it was a one-time program. This is really all we've done. You can see here the average cost of the service line was $4,800, and we achieved with this money 556 of those repairs. We also allowed them to claim this grant for foundation drain. The average cost of that was $2,000, but there was actually 15 of those. That's really much lesser problem. The next slide shows, as Senator Metzen was alluding, we quickly ran out of money. The acceleration, I'm looking at the bar chart now. The demand from the private parties in the cities was quickly growing. So just to complete my testimony, Mr. Chair, we're asking $2 million for fiscal year 2011. This retains water resources in Minnesota that should. It protects the environment by reducing or eliminating spills out of the sewer system or the outflow out of those private lines. It leverages investments from the city and private funding. It saves dollars because it costs us at least 6 times as much to build this costly and unneeded infrastructure. And finally, just to sort of differentiate from some of the other possible uses for this money, this doesn't need study anymore. We've been doing this for a while. If approved, these dollars will accomplish projects improving water quality and water supply, producing work and jobs for contractors as early as you can make the money available.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Vickerman.
Mr. Chair, is this just for the 7 county metro area? The reason I ask, my hometown of Tracy, they're spent money for inflow meters. They're trying to figure out what's going on. And they put those in. They're not cheap. But in the long run, they're still trying to figure out their basins. So if they can get a handle on this, they can probably cut half of what it would cost to put that. So I was just kind of curious. This is for the metro, but this could be statewide. But there's a lot of small cities that need some help.
Senator Vickerman, do you recall how they paid for those, how the city of Tracy paid for those inflow meters?
Pardon?
Do you recall how the city of Tracy paid for those inflow meters?
Right now, they're just putting them in. So they come out of the city of money.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to say. I don't want to take anything away from the metro. I'm not going to do that. But there is a need probably outstate Minnesota.
I presume that the city put an assessment on people's homes? Okay.
Chairman, I've learned that in the rural areas, there's what they call WIF funds available, and mm-hmm. I think they've received money out of some of the bonding funds. So it's statewide in different funds, but this one takes care of the metro. But there are programs, Senator Vickerman, in place today that help small cities, and I'm not sure what Tracy has received, but I hope and I think that they've got some money to help their homeowners. There are funds available, I'm sure.
Mr. Chair, I don't want to take anything away from up here. I just wanted to put that pitch in there because I'm, and Senator Frederickson will be turning Tracy more than I will, but it, I was, when I was on this last week and they're putting these meters in. In other words, they have to, by the PCA says, you can't be dumping all that.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a point of clarification, being late here, you probably already talked about it. The notation of the cities marked number one and number two on the backside on this list. Explain to me the number twos. They're communities that have completed a total five-year mitigation plan early. So they've already paid up then? Is that basically what you're saying? I'm just wondering why there's not numbers behind their city.
Mr. Chair, we didn't actually provide this list. I'm not sure what those notations are. I can say this. We've had this surcharge program for the cities since 2007 to 11, and some of them have had problems and fixed it. So there are 10 or 15 or so that are off the list.
And number two are the ones that are.
Number two are the ones that are completed. Thank
okay.
you.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I just had a clarifying question. I seem to recall in this year's bonding bill there's $25 million for Greater Minnesota investment grants or infrastructure grants. And would that fund that's only available in Greater Minnesota, not in the metro area, be eligible for projects like this, for I&I projects in outstate Minnesota?
Senator Steven, doubtful because these are aimed at individual homes. So because it doesn't help the political subdivision, it would be difficult. Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Sieben, that program is for economic development. So maybe if in conjunction with an economic development project, you know, redeveloping an area or developing an area, it's possible a little of that money could be used for that purpose, but that's not the main intent.
Thank you.
On the studying, Mr. Willett, if we don't need to study it anymore, how do we figure out what the total need is in the metro area to do this? You indicated you didn't have a percentage of homes that actually need this, and how far towards solving the problem the $2 million would go?
Mr. Chair, the demand far exceeds that. We ask for only a small part. We made some assumptions that, you know, maybe only 12 communities would apply, and the, sort of the same kind of level that in our small little demonstration grant would the same level of demand would occur. But we do not know sort of the overall need. Some of the cities have done that, but you know, some of them have not inspected all these lines. So
don't you think we should know that?
This could go on. Well, this is not a one-time problem. We're going to have I&I forever. Right. We need, you know, the pipes deteriorate and cracks occur. We need to have an ongoing problem. So, you know, a snapshot in time will not really answer your question. There really needs to be some program forever to help these people.
Well, this legacy dollars aren't going to last forever. They're only 25 years. Senator Sieben.
Mr. Chair, when the time is ready, I'm happy to move the bill.
Okay. McHenry.
Chairman, I think we have an answer to one of the questions.
Mr. McHenry.
Kevin McHenry from Metro Cities. Just first off, this is a significant issue for the metropolitan area. Cities are addressing this region-wide issue on an individual basis. It's estimated that the cost to address this individually by cities is going to be $150 million. It's a public and a private issue. 75% of the costs are on the private side, which this would address. So.
All right. Mr. Austin.
Awesome.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Paul Austin. I'm with the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, MCEA, not to be confused with MCES, the Met Council Environmental Services. To expose all of my biases and background, from 84 to 92, I actually worked for the precursor to MCES, so I just wanted to put that on the deck. I do know a thing or two about sewers, and I'm here today as MCEA plans to be for the next 23 years to talk about the constitutional amendment funding. Whenever we hear the Clean Water Fund, our ears perk up, and we immediately run through a couple of quick checkpoints. A, someone trying to take money from that fund. That appears to be the case with this proposal. B, does it fit the purposes and priorities of that fund? And C, is it potentially a substitution for a traditional source of support or resources that have supported this effort in the past? As you know, the Clean Water Fund was established to protect and preserve and restore impaired waters as the first priority. That was the conversation we had last year. It's very hard for MCEA, with its background in surface water management and water quality issues, to make the connection between I&I, as expressed in this bill and this concern, and surface water quality issues. So I would submit that this doesn't fit the purposes of the Clean Water Fund. The TMDL work that's going on right now in the Mississippi River deals with turbidity and nitrogen and phosphorus. That is not an issue that is driven by I&I. In fact, there was a study in 2004 that was funded by the legislature that concluded that 0.1% of the phosphorus entering wastewater treatment plants was due to I&I, and 0.0% of the phosphorus leaving the wastewater treatment plants was due to I&I. So we can talk in depth and in detail about other connections with water quality, but the bottom line from our perspective is that the water quality impacts of the I&I issue is minimal, is tenuous at best. Do we think I&I as a capacity issue in the sewer system is worth looking at? Absolutely. I mean, I used to work there. I&I has been around since we put pipes in the ground. But it tends to be a system capacity issue. And often, quite frankly, it comes down to a billing issue. My recollection of a lot of the discussions of I&I in the late 80s and early 90s was around community billing. Because communities are paying for wastewater plus stormwater that's leaking into the pipes, so their bills get higher. That's not good. But that's a separate issue. And for us, when we look at the Clean Water Fund and its purposes, that raises a flag for us. One small point, this bill actually points the funding at the Clean Water Legacy account. That's not the Clean Water Fund, and there's no money in the Clean Water Legacy account. But that's a separate issue. The other point about a traditional program, a long-standing program, as I said, I&I has been around since the beginning of time. I mean, in Boston, they were replacing wooden pipes because of I&I back in the 70s. This is not a new effort. People have been doing this for a long time, and when I look at this and start looking at it as a new program coming out of the Clean Water Fund, it feels to me like it's potentially a substitution as well. So, Mr. Chair, I'd just like to leave you with a reminder to please use those two tests when you're looking at funding proposals out of the Clean Water Fund. Our new executive director at MCEA was very, very involved with the tobacco endowment work. He reminds me every day that the tobacco endowment lasted in Minnesota longer than any other state. It lasted 4 years. We've got a 25-year project here, and we think this debate has to take place on every one of these funding issues. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, in all due respect, this guy is wrong. This meets the MS-114D.50 Subdivision 3, all the criteria in that subdivision. If this doesn't work under the law, I don't know what does. The governor, in his supplemental bill, has approved and agrees that this meets the criteria. So we do have the governor on board to help in this clean water endeavor. So I thought the committee should know that the governor administration supports this effort.
Actually, Senator Metzen, this committee has been intimately involved with this fund for the last 4 years, and I agree with Mr. Austin. And I think if it fit under the current criteria, you wouldn't have to create
a new section, number six. We've got broad goals under the purposes under your bill, but then you create a sixth narrow purpose for the purposes of this program. And
we have an amendment that changes that.
Mr. Chair, our lawyers looked at that and decided it fit under 2 and 4, so we didn't need to add that 6. That's what the delete all is, as well as correcting the pointing at the wrong statute that was mentioned by Mr. Austin.
And I guess I think I agree that this is the type of program that ought to be funded through assessments. That's how I get that's how my effort, my city does
the
it.
Citizens
on my
in our communities and
excuse
yours.
Excuse me. Let's go through the chair, Senator.
Mr. Chairman.
I guess the final matter. I think this is something that needs to be done through assessment. That's how we deal with stormwater issues. Finally, I'm not sure, and this perhaps the Finance Committee will talk about this as well, but I didn't understand that there were $2 million available in the Clean Water Fund. Now, you may think that there was some unspent money in there and that therefore that we didn't see the need to pay for any more projects this biennium. That's not true. There was an intentional cushion left in case our tax receipts don't meet the need. We left $5 million. And this would take almost half of that. And so the planning that this committee and other committees have done for this fund would be somewhat subverted by simply taking it out of this fund. So that's an additional concern of mine. So I tend to agree that this is supplanting. And I think the effort is correct. I think we ought to do what we can to support it. But just because there's $5 million unspent somewhere because a certain group of people were prudent and wise, I don't think that's a good reason to take money out of that fund. Go ahead, Senator Metzen.
What are people, 65-70% of these people that are affected here voted for this legislation, along with me and others. This cleans up the river. It's what the purpose of this fund is for, Senator. This is what the money's for. Things like this that clean up the Mississippi River all the way down to Red Wing to New Orleans. If this isn't a good use for the money, I don't know what is.
All right. Well, we can get into the whole supplanting lecture another time, but I think it's self-evident. Senator Kielash.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, shouldn't this be passed on to the Finance Committee because we are talking dollars and they have greater oversight over this fund as well? So any changes or any discussion that talks about the use of the money may be better spent in the Finance Committee?
Senator Kielash, Finance Committee would definitely look at this, but we have to examine whether it's appropriate policy to use this program out of the Clean Water Legacy Fund, and the issue of supplanting is a matter of constitutional language.
I agree.
And so so this committee has purview over that discussion as well.
Mr. Chair, in the interest of trying to move things along, I'll follow Senator Dill's lead from yesterday and move that we move Senate File 2976 without recommendation to the Finance Committee.
Chairman Ingebrigtsen, did you have your hand up?
Oh, right. But, Mr. Chair, first we need to adopt the A1 amendment.
Right.
And I'd move that.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, did you have your hand up?
Yes, Mr. Chair, and thank you. I have a tendency to agree. I think we are the policymakers, and we have to be also guardians of what is certainly not a secret in the public's eye of how this money is being spent. And we're seeing this over on the Lesard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council as well, and we have to be very careful moving forward, especially in the first 2-3 years, to get this right. And if there's any indication of any supplanting going on, we have to we have to correct that, it seems to me, immediately. Now, to look at the plan here, Senator Metzen, obviously there's some issues that need to be fixed, and if they're not fixed, our rivers and streams are going to be affected. But We were doing this long before the constitutional amendment through fees and I as a user of those particular facilities would have no problem with increasing those fees to get that fixed if it is as bad as it appears. So I too would be against this bill.
I continue to be concerned that the magnitude of the issue has not even been grasped. So I would be concerned that if we were simply to say this is a problem that's going to go on forever, then this fund becomes the traditional source, and that's what we're going to be deciding today. Is that the Clean Water Fund is going to be the traditional source for this effort from now on. Let's take the author's A1 amendment and then continue talking. This is an author's amendment to get it in the shape that he prefers. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. Senator Metzen.
I urge passage of this very needed legislation, and it's an appropriate use of the funds, and we are trying to address the problem.
Committee's in recess. Call up Aaron or Michelle. Let's meet up and.